Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley and Stevie Nicol. We'll kick things off at Wembley. England in action against Belgium, and it would be the visitors who would take the lead early on. A mistake from Pickford would set up Tielemans, who took the goal well. Ivan Toney's first start for England would see him get his first penalty as well. He would make it 1-1, but it'd be another mistake at the back. This time, Dunk would slip. Great assist from Lukaku to set up Tielemans for his second. It looked like that would be enough to give Belgium the win, but in the end, Bellingham with a late, late goal would see the game finish 2-2. Keeping an eye on this one as well for us was Julien Laurent. But overall,
keeping an eye on... Come on, let's just be honest.
What would you like to be honest about?
The TVs at this place are driving me nuts. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, right? We saw the first half and then we couldn't watch most of the second half. So we switched back to Brazil,
yes.
Spain, and then we caught the end of it. But by that point, you and I had gone to make up, missed the Bellingham goal, and I freaking give up with his goal. But, you know,
overall, it was better from England, wasn't it? I thought first half that we saw.
Well, Belgium are a weaker side.
Yes, and then Brazil, if we're comparing the two.
It's definitely a weaker side. And again, it was those areas at the back that Southgate has the big headache around, because... You know, we were talking about this, Harry Maguire. What's the answer if it's not Harry Maguire?
Yep.
Who is either in the United side or he's out the United side. Where do they go? You know, is it... You know, the guy Branswaite at Everton was supposed to get a game. There's Colwell at Chelsea. Lewis Dunk's come in. You've got Enzo Konza, who's played. Who is... I mean, if John Stones is injured, can you imagine if he's got no John Stones?
Yeah.
That's a double headache for him. So I think that's the area for sure that if anything crops up, then where does he go? What way does he go against better teams than Belgium?
And the thing is, even against Brazil, though, when he had Stones and Maguire, which we think is going to be the pairing, the same as today, Belgium on the break were the same as Brazil on the break. You know, they looked, every time they got at them, they looked as though they were going to create. And we showed a couple of them, and one of them was a horrible finish, and one was a great finish from Tielemans from that ball from Lukaku. So, regardless it seems of what's at the back, their biggest problem isn't possessing the ball, isn't getting people forward. That back line up against anybody right now looks vulnerable.
How do you explain starting off the mistake from Pickford? Obviously, experienced goalkeeper, just one of those things.
It's a mishit. He's tried to be too clever with it. But the problem is, at this level, one of those things you can't afford.
Right.
There's no pressure on him.
Yeah.
He's tried to, he's tried to pick out, couldn't quite see who it was there in the middle of the park.
And let's be honest. I don't care whether it's international football, club football, boys football. You do not want your goalkeeper away outside of his box trying to clear a ball. You just don't want them there. Because if something goes wrong, you're exposed. And it went wrong, he got exposed, and the ball ends up in the back of your net.
So whatever way you butter this up, it's not been a good couple of games for England.
Right.
No.
At home, both times, but playing strong teams, and got beaten pretty easily in the end by Brazil. Could have been worse, as we talked about at the weekend. And you look at this Belgium side now, I know they've got one or two missing, but it's starting to unravel for them, isn't it? I mean, I can't see them doing anything at the Euros, to be honest. And this kind of period for them is well and truly over. I've been able to go in with the big boys. So when you put that into context, the two home games and the fact they're relying on a injury time equaliser, it's not been a particularly good couple of games for Southgate, to be honest.
Do you agree, Jules?
Yeah, I agree. Although I thought tonight was much better than what we saw against Brazil, where there was actually not much to see, to be fair. I thought tonight against, like Craig said, a weaker team, Belgium are not very good, certainly not without De Bruyne in their team. We saw that on Saturday against Ireland, in Ireland, where they were really average, Belgium, and yet today they had two mistakes. They benefited from it. They scored two really good finishes by Tielemans. The first one with his left foot across goal like that, and then the header is a wonderful header. But really, Belgium are not a good team. And England created enough, I think, to win the game. The most satisfying tonight is Kobe Mainoo for his debut, or for his first start, for England. That midfield with Bellingham and Rice looked really good at times. There might still be an issue with the balance of the team, especially in defensive transitions. But overall, I thought they were much better than they were on Saturday against Brazil.
So he's getting on anywhere. Stevie touching it straight away. Yeah. Why would he go to ground there?
He doesn't have to. He can stay on his feet and still clear the ball. I mean, it's just a horrible decision. Well, it's a bad decision. There's no need for it. There's no reason for it.
Right.
And only he will be able to tell you why he went to ground when he didn't have to. But as I said, it's international football. And when you're playing against teams like Belgium, who may be on the, maybe over the hill, but they've still got quality, when you make mistakes, if you're going to make them, I guess the answer is make them in friendlies before the competition starts. Because you can't do it in the competition, because you will get punished.
Kobbie Mainoo, do you think he's going to go to Germany?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think he's going to go. And it's ironic that, and we talked about it, he wasn't in the squads for these games, which is quite bizarre. And I think tells you a little bit about the psyche of Gareth Southgate in the first place, that he wasn't in there. Even before the...
Jordan Henderson was, that's it.
And Jordan Henderson was. It's all about experience and know-how and all that goes with about being about the training camp and about the squad and all that sort of stuff. And even before the terrific performance that Mainoo had at Old Trafford against Liverpool, he should have been in it and on that list before that, and he was outstanding that day. Southgate must have watched that game and thought, yeah, I should have just put him in.
Yeah.
Give him experience. It's a bit like today. You know, he's Walker's injured. Now John Stones. What's he learning from John Stones playing?
Sure.
Is he thinking, well, maybe Stones and Lewis Dunk could be a partnership? I mean, what's he learning? Guy playing two friendlies in a row. He could have played, you know, two of the less experienced players at the back to have a look at them. Now he's got we have a club manager ringing him going, what the hell? Two friendlies.
His reasoning for playing Mainoo should be the same reasoning for playing Brentwett.
Right, yeah.
You know,
let's have a look.
If you're telling me that he doesn't know what he's getting from Lewis Dunk before tonight, then he's in the wrong job. So that's the whole reason that you play somebody like Braithwaite and Mainoo against a team that you know you're probably going to have more of the possession of the ball. It's the ideal time. Then you can see what the guy's doing behind the ball. Does he go to sleep? Does he concentrate? All of these things you can learn watching Braithwaite that you should already know about Dunk. So it made no sense to play Dunk. Or certainly it made no sense not to play Braithwaite. Let me put it that way.
Not good, though, for Guardiola, Jules.
No, not good. I mean, again, we need to wait and see with Stones, with Walker, because he looked like a muscular injury, like an hamstring, as we said on Saturday night. I can't see how he can play on Sunday. I don't think it's possible for Walker. For Stones, coming off so early in the game, maybe it was just precautionary and maybe there's a chance. But even if it's a groin and he's just pulling a little bit, again, the game is on Sunday. There's like 5 days now. I can't see Stones and Walker playing. So you go Diaz, Akanji, Ake, and then maybe Rico Lewis, or you stick to a back three and then maybe strengthen the midfield. I don't know, but I think all the managers obviously were looking at this international break at the wrong time of the season. You've got Champions League coming back the week after too. And I think all they wanted was just please, no injury, please don't play my players too much. And for Pep, in two games, in the first 20 minutes of each game, he loses one key player.
Tony or Watkins?
At the start of the game, I was thinking, you know, I'm 50-50 I'm 50-50 with these two.
Yeah.
I mean, neither of them had sparkling games. I mean, Tony gets the penalty kick, scores it. Ollie Watkins didn't have a great game. He didn't have a lot of supply, it has to be said. We touched on that at the weekend, how pedestrian England were against Brazil in the final third. I get the feeling, and it's just a gut feeling, that if Kane wasn't available, I think he would go with Ivan Tony.
Right.
But that's just how I'm thinking about it. I think I could easily see it going the other way.
Is there any chance that maybe it could be neither, in the sense that you could have Foden through the centre or Bellingham through the centre to give you, say, a Maddison to come on as well?
I don't think so. It seems out of the realms of Gareth Southgate's thinking, quite honestly.
So which way do you think he'll go?
I'm with Craig. I thought before the Brazil game, I thought Watkins was absolutely ahead of Tony. But having watched both games, I think Watkins is a better all-round footballer. But I would rather probably play against him than play against Tony. So for that reason, I'm going to go Tony, which I wouldn't have said if you'd asked me before the Brazil game.
Jules, we're seeing this odds. After what we've seen from these last couple of games, I don't think many are jumping on 3-1 for England to go on and win the tournament.
No, but again, this is March. I think a lot of the players have heavy schedules coming. They just come out of heavy schedules as well. We saw for every country, 5 changes, 7 changes, 9 changes. I mean, I think only Germany kept the same team from one game to another, and 2 wins for them. Great for Nagelsmann, but everybody else changed, really. So it's maybe difficult. I don't think we should judge too much on what we saw in the last 7 days or so in the last 2 games. However, are they really that strong favourite? I don't think so. We've said it before. I think the French are slightly above them. I think Germany are not far behind. Belgium, Portugal, who lost tonight in Slovenia. Spain, I'm not too sure either. But France and England, for me, are the top two favourites. So, yeah, I think I'm going to say again, for me, the issue is Southgate. But if Southgate doesn't do anything silly, they have the players and the talent. Even if defensively we're not really sure, it's a bit wonky at times, I get that. But I still think going forward, they have such an incredible squad that, of course, they can win it. So strong favourite, maybe not, but certainly amongst the top two favourites, they have to be.
Got an easy route again.
It's a nice group, isn't it? Yeah.
So it's quite a nice group.
Yeah, it's which, not, you know, that's what you get for being...
That's what happens, you know.
Well, that's what isn't it?
Flat trap bully everybody in qualifying, and then you get the third big tournament in a row, you get an easy pathway.
Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevian Shepherd-Spy, Xhaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's been a great few days, hasn't it, for the host of the Euros. Germany, of course, beating France at the weekend. They come from behind to beat the Dutch 2-1 to give them some momentum going into this summer's tournament. At the game for us was Archie Rinter, who joins us now. Archie, all is well in the German world.
Before the weekend, I was thinking, this Germany side, the way that they've been playing, will they be able to get out of the group? Such has been the doom and gloom here. And yet now, after these two performances against France and against the Netherlands, particularly the one tonight where they go behind to an early goal, it's through a mistake from Maximilian Mittelstädt. But for Mittelstädt, who is one of the newbies in this squad, to come through and then get over that mistake with that goal, but also just his general all-round performance, it's indicative to me of a Germany team under Julian Nagelsmann who's made big changes to his squad since the international fixtures against Austria and Turkey. that this team can now be considered as potential winners of the tournament, and there's now a bit of hype in Germany. There's a bit of light hysteria developing about, hang on, we've actually got a team and a system that might work, because the way that they've controlled the games against the Netherlands and against France now in the past few days, I think is the most encouraging thing. Controlling the games, making chances, and also, sure, one or two defensive wobbles, but ultimately, this is a team that is working for each other. And when the players are coming on, as Julian Nagelsmann, the coach, has pointed out, there's an acceptance of everybody's roles in the squad. And I don't know if that was the same thing when there were more Bayern and Dortmund players in the squad who have been culled for now and will find it difficult to get back into it come the Euros, the likes of Mats Hummels, Serge Gnabry, Leon Goretzka, Julian Brandt, Niklas Süle, Nico Schlotterbeck. I think that they'll do well to get back in because of how good an impression that these players have made on Nagelsmann, but also how I think they've made everybody in Germany who was quite, I would say, nonplussed by the Euros coming, not as much as you would think a country like Germany would be excited for the tournament. Now people are getting into full swing.
Yeah, just to take us a little bit deeper into that, how apathetic were the fans going ahead to the tournament, which of course Germany hosts, and how has these two results changed that rhetoric?
The fact that there was a whole discussion before this game about what the goal music should be for when they score, that tells you that there was newfound confidence after the France game. And even the way that the fans responded after they went behind tonight, where they started singing, and let me tell you that German fan culture for international games is very different to that for club football, where we know what the atmospheres are generally like. So the fact that the crowd was so swept up in the game tonight told me that they are really getting into this. And when an antique show a few years ago was getting higher ratings than one Germany international game, that tells you how apathetic that people have become. But you do feel that they feel they can get behind this team, also because it has more of an underdog nature to it. It's better represented with Leverkusen and Stuttgart players. And I think that a lot of Bayern and Dortmund fans, whilst one hand they may be thinking, oh, well, not many of our players in the squad, to be honest, I think they'd be quite happy to see the back of them, given how they've been dragging their heels for much of this season as well.
A word on the Dutch, Archie?
I was so disappointed with just the lack of a recognisable plan for a country with the there, where I think they have so many talented players on the ball, and yet when they were circling the ball round the back, they didn't really know how much further or where the routes were forward. I'm encouraged by defensively how they did look at least solid with that back three, but I think that actually the players in front of them and what they were giving defensively is worrying. And from thinking, well, the Netherlands should be a side which will be competing this summer, I thought Germany were miles better than them. And given what they showed against Scotland the other night, they were not good for an hour or so. So, yeah, if I was a Dutch fan, I'd be a little bit nervous going into the summer.
Archie, as always, great stuff. Thank you very much. As we continue our trip around Europe to check out how those international sides went on. But before we do so, let me just remind you, it is the Clásica this weekend. Bayern taking on a Borussia Dortmund. That game live on ESPN and ESPN Plus. Our hour-long preview starts at 10:30 Eastern. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
France, meanwhile, with a 3-2 victory over Chile. Lesser convincing. Mouani, though, starred in the victory for the French. Jules is still with us. We also welcome Frank Leboeuf with us, who is watching this for us. Frank, improvement on the game against Germany?
Obviously, and happy to see that. But when you start from scratch, you know, it's very easy to improve your game. And I have to say that with the disappointing German performance against Germany, you know, we were expecting something better. But it didn't start well. I'm still concerned about the fact we are too much, too soft maybe in the middle of the park, in a way that we are kind of gambler. We are fantastic players in the middle of the park with Kim Kamavinga, Fofana, and Tchouaméni, but the gamblers. I mean, they like to play, and they sometimes do stuff that I would have never seen in my time, and that we see too many times right now, ready to make to try a nutmeg in our box and everything. So, yeah, it was better overall. We had also some injuries, like some other teams, like Klaus and Kamavinga being injured. It wasn't that great. I mean, it's too open. Chile had many, many chances to score. But overall, some players did their jobs, like Fofana, like Colomwani was absolutely the player of the game. And it was nice to see Saliba, because I really highly rank him. And I want Deschamps to change his mind and see him as one of the best centre-back in the world.
Well, you brought up Saliba, and we may as well address that now, Frank. And it's interesting how open Deschamps has been about Saliba and where he stands in the pecking order within this French side. It seems surprising that he's so critical of a player who's impressed so much in the Premier League, not just this season, but of course last year as well for Arsenal.
Yeah, I was very surprised by his comment. He's not used to do that. He's mostly protective with the players that he's in charge with. But he was very open to Saliba, saying that some performances or what he saw sometime on the field wasn't what he was expecting from a player like him. Well, I guess we don't see the same thing. When I see Saliba playing every weekend, he's one of the strongest centre-backs in the world. And without him, we saw Arsenal struggling at the end of the season last season. And we see that how important he is for the Gunners this season. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a human decision, what a coach does and what Deschamps does, picking some players. So I think personally, I think with Konaté, that would be a fantastic pair. But Deschamps sees it otherwise with Pavard and Upamecano, maybe. Maybe he would change his mind for the best of Saliba, because I really think that he deserved that position.
This feels personal, Jules.
Can I jump
in? Yeah, of course you can.
It's absolutely atrocious that an international manager would criticise a player who's not his player in the press. If you've got a problem with a player, you do it in private. Mm. And an international manager coming out and criticising one of the best centre-backs arguably on the planet right now is atrocious. And I hope that Mikel Arteta was the first person to pick up the phone or go and see him or wherever it is to stick his finger in his face and say, don't you talk about my players like that again, because it's absolutely 100% a no-no. How dare you talk about a player who's not even your player in those terms? I think it's an absolute joke.
Particularly one that's not, that's still, whilst at club level, he went back to France on loan, was voted, I think, the young player in France, best young defender, whatever it was. Came back to Arsenal, has been outstanding. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody will debate that. However, he's still, in international terms, trying to make his way. he's a bit of a novice when it comes to international football. And we get that. Maybe Deschamps likes a bit more experience. We most of us would disagree. His defence looks like it could do with an absolutely solid, young, quick, strong defender like Saliba in there. And that's fine if he just thinks about it in a different way. But to come out, as Stevie said, and basically pick apart why he's not in the team for a guy who is probably going to be, whether Deschamps is there or not, the bedrock of this French defence for quite some time to come, is a strange way to try and get the best out of a player. Very, very strange.
What's the backstory here, Jules?
I mean, it's really interesting. I was surprised. I think William himself was quite surprised, although nothing really fazes him, so he moved on very quickly. And he knew when Deschamps spoke in his press conference, not long after there was a training behind closed doors, and William knew that he would start because he played with the starting 11 at training, the last training before the game. So he knew he had a chance to show Deschamps in a way after the comments in the press, and I think Deschamps is a very demanding coach. I mean, Frank played with him. He was a demanding captain at the time. I think he's a very demanding coach. I think he knows that maybe Saliba can be even better than what we've seen this season. And the only really reason why I can understand or see what he meant by saying, well, sometimes I see him doing things that I don't really like, and when he's played with us so far, which is true, he hasn't been at his best. And to be fair, Deschamps put him in bad teams or like average teams and at times where he was injured. So it hadn't been easy for Saliba with the national team. But maybe Deschamps was like, I know he can be better. I know he can do better. I know how good he can be, even better than what we've seen so far in the Premier League, for example. So it was his birthday, I think, 2 days ago, William turned 23. And this was almost like a present. And I think he did really well tonight to show Deschamps that there's certainly more to come and better to come. He's still a young player, but that already, for me, over the two games, and obviously Chile are not Germany, they're not as strong, but of the four centre-backs, he was the best one of the four.
He do things better. He can still do things better, which is fair enough. Every player can.
Yeah.
He wants to take a... Has he not watched any videos or games of Upamecano?
No, that's the thing.
No, he didn't play in there.
That's why it's even more of a head-scratch. You know, if Upamecano's, you know, flying with Bayern, then it's a different conversation.
He hasn't been playing well for quite some time. And so, look... He'll live and die by his decisions at the end of the day. But I don't see why you wouldn't try and get this guy in the side as often as you can, as early as you can, to prepare him for this Euros coming up and make him feel as comfortable as you can, because he's not going away unless he's just made up his mind that he's going to go a different route. I don't know, but I think it's hard to imagine a French defence at the World Cup without William Saliba in it, but maybe Deschamps has got other ideas.
Last word to you, Jules, on what we learned from France over the last couple of matches.
I didn't think tonight was that reassuring. To be fair, I know it's a win, so you avoid the crisis of two games in a row without a win, for example. But Chile played well, and they played with a lot of intensity. There was a lot of movement. They have a new coach that played this style of football. And they were really on it. And nine changes from Deschamps, from the Germany defeat to the game tonight, then losing close very early, like Frank said, and then Camavinga as well. So not ideal. There were good things at times with Colomwani, Kylian a little bit in midfield. But overall, I just didn't think it was that reassuring. I think they would move on very quickly and not look forward to the Euros and be ready. But what we've seen in the last two games, just, I don't know, it worries me a little bit.
Thank you very much, Jules. A lot more from Jules on the Gab and Jules podcast. The latest edition will drop on Thursday as they reflect on what's been happening, of course, across the globe during International Week.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good!
And the playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Meanwhile, action at the Santiago Bernabeu would see Spain and Brazil play out a thrilling 3-3 draw. Spain would take a 2-0 lead early on. First, it would be a penalty from Rodri and then Dani Olmo making it 2. Brazil, though, would come back. Rodrigo making the most of a mistake from Unai Simon. And then into the second half, Endrick would come on to make it 2-2. Spain, though, would get a late penalty, a dodgy penalty to make it 3-2. Rodri converting that, but it'll be a penalty at the other end late on the tie, which means the scores were shared. Luis Garcia joins us, who is watching this one for us. Luis, a fun game?
It was actually a fun game. Better in the first 45. I think the Spain was very active, were very intense, good pressure. In the second half, I'm not sure what the defender was waiting to see something different, because definitely Brazil went for it. They showed that they wanted to equalize or at least get something from tonight's game. And the Spanish national coach, he was trying to show that Spain is going to be strong enough at the Euros. He wanted to play toe-to-toe against this Brazil. The last challenge that Spain can check how they are going to arrive at the end of this season and start the Euros. So he wanted to put probably what we're going to see at the Euros. This is kind of very similar to the 11 start against the first game against Croatia on the 15th of June. And actually the two wide players, Jamal and Williams, they've been impressive. They did so well, very intense. Dani Olmo was very good also in the midfield, but in the end it was a 3-3 draw with, you guys just mentioned, two very soft penalties for Spain.
Even with your Spanish ways, Luis, you're saying they were both the wrong decisions?
Yeah, I think that they are very soft. VAR is not involved in friendly games, so today we didn't check what happened on those two challenges. But I think that both of them, the first one, Dami Jamal, is waiting for the Brazilian player to get to feel the touch, and he let himself go on the floor. And the second one, I think that Carvajal arrived late. It's a shoulder against shoulder, but he is unbalanced, so it's normal that he fell on the side. So, yeah, in the end, it's the referee's interpretation. Once again, for me, I think that they were very soft, but they helped to Spain to get the three goals.
How come there's VAR at the two England games? Is England more important than everybody else? It's Wembley,
right? Who knows?
The home of football and all that sort of boring nonsense. Oh, they've got to have VAR and a friendly because England are playing.
I don't know, Craig. I don't know the intricacies of it all. Luis, obviously, inevitably, there was a lot of tension on Vinicius Jr. after that press conference going into this tie. How would you rate his performance?
I think today was more about the fact that we are all involved against the regime, that there was a good atmosphere at the stadium. I think it was more than 70,000 people supporting Spain, but also a lot of people watching the Real Madrid players that were involved. I think Vinicius Junior was pretty quiet in the first 45, maybe involved in a couple of opportunities, but no much more. I think, again, it was more about to be there, to show he wore also the armband, to be the captain of this Brazilian team that in the second half were very impressive with the intensity, with the changes that the manager made, with Endrick arriving in the second part. I think he was a key player in the last 30 or 25 minutes. But definitely it was a quiet night for Vinicius. Again, more about what was happening in that fight that he's been involved against the races.
And another 45 minutes for Endrick and another goal to his name.
Yeah, and it looks fantastic. In the moment he started on the game, in the first ball, it was a fantastic pass to Vini Jr., who was stopped by Lenormand. The second chance, again, making a good pass to try to assist Vini Jr. And in the second one, it was that chance actually we saw in one of the corners to put another goal. It looks fantastic, to be honest. It looks quick, it looks skillful. He knows how to move into the box. He's very aware about the players around and looking for the movements of the players, and when he's near the box, well, he showed another goal for him. I think he scored twice in the last two games, but it's two goals in four games for Brazil. He's only 17 years old, so very impressive. So we go probably another pearl on Brazilian team.
And of course, we're playing for Real Madrid next season. Overall, looking ahead to the Euros for Spain, Luis, what are the expectations?
As always for Spain, we are expecting to do well. I think we got a very, very young team. I think we are maybe going to lack at some moments of experience. Again, we saw today 21 years old Nico Williams on the left side, Lamine Yamal on the right side. Those were the two best players on the game today. With Dani Olmo probably at the back, probably we're going to see Ekubarsi, even though that today was Lenormand and Laporte once again. A lot of expectation. It's a good team, very dynamic. We need something extra because our main man, Morata, the one who should be our top scorer, has been 5 games without scoring. We don't have many players who can score goals, and that's something that is a big concern. We got players who can assist, who can create, but in the end, we need players. Today, José Lu didn't even play. I think that De La Fuente used only 4 players on the change in the second half. So the big concern is that how we are going to get the end product. We can create, we can have the ball, we can be very intense and aggressive going forward. We are very good and solid at the back, but we are missing that piece that is a number 9 who can score 15 goals. And Morata should be on fire if we want to go through and stay long in the Euros.
Standard for Spain. Going into a big tournament, it's all about who's going to be getting their goals.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like the only thing we've been talking about for every time a tournament comes along. Mm. Where are the goals coming from? I'm a bit like Louise. I wouldn't put my money on Morata. And the chances are slim to none that somebody comes along between now and then.
Yeah.
So it's going to be the same old, I think, for the Spanish.
But, of course, exciting to have the likes of Lamine Yamal and Williams down both sides. We saw Dani Olmo, of course, scoring here today. There are options, but history has told us, as Stevie said, Craig, don't get too excited about Spain going into big tournaments.
Well, they have to find a way to turn their dominance into the final third end product. You know, Spain are probably going to have 60 or 70% possession against most teams. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not about that. And they have to find a way to... And ironically, you know, up until maybe, I don't know, recently, Alvaro Morata's been having one of his best seasons, certainly for club. And I know Griezmann and him, the partnership's been sort of split up a little bit with the injuries, but you'd wonder if he finishes the season strong with Atletico Madrid, and they got a lot to play for, then that's good news for Spain going into this tournament. But if he starts to flag between now and the end of the season, and we're starting to see that in the last 3 or 4 weeks, then that's a problem for the Spanish. That there is no getting away from it. If they don't have somebody in form that these young, exciting players can supply, they're not going to win the tournament.
Well, of course, La Liga returns this weekend. As always, you can see every single game live on ESPN+. Plus, the big ties for you on Saturday at Montjuic, Barcelona taking on Las Palmas. And then on Sunday, Real Madrid against Athletic Club. All those matches live on ESPN+. Plus. Lewis will be back with us for extra time. Frank as well, as we answer some of your questions. The She Believes Cup, of course, very much the next target for the US women. The roster was announced today. Be sure to go over to the website. It's breaking down as to some surprises that we've seen maybe included within that squad. And, of course, they'll be discussing that on the next edition of Football Americas. Be sure to a really good show last night as they took you through, of course, the US men winning the CONCACAF Nations League for the third time in a row.
Three-peat
indeed.
Dos de cero.
So here we go then. This is it. We now know the lineup for the group stages. That Wales would be knocked out by Poland. Poland winning on penalties in the end by 5-4. So Poland join Netherlands, Austria and France in Group D. Elsewhere in Group A, Germany, Scotland, Hungary, Switzerland. Group B, Spain, Croatia, Italy and Albania. Group C, we'll see Slovenia tied with Denmark, Serbia and England. And then Group F, Turkey, Georgia, Portugal and Czech Republic. And there it is. That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. The end of International Week as well. Oh, Be sure to stay tuned though as Frank and Luis are back to answer your questions for extra time.
Hey. Can we ask Luis a question?
You can ask Luis a question, Stevie. Yes, welcome to Extra Time. Before we get to your questions, Stevie has a question for Luis.
How often do you get your hair cut?
Wow, okay.
It's got to be once a week, isn't it?
Well,
because it never changes.
Is that a question for me?
You're just looking a bit weird.
Well, that's
today.
Why I was thinking, because I'm getting my cut tomorrow, but well, I'm like every 4 weeks. Yeah, but this is never changes.
Oh, well, let's find out. Luis?
Fantastic question. I had it today and I have it every week. Once a week.
Every week?
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, I would have said 3 weeks.
Once a week, would you?
I need a haircut, but I normally try 3 weeks.
Okay. He's
a month. But yeah. Even if I've not had the haircut, I try and put some product.
Yeah, what's happened today, Stevie? It seems extra fluffy.
I've got new product in it.
You've got something in that?
Aye, it didn't work. It didn't work. Don't worry about it.
Well,
normal service will be resumed tomorrow.
Yes. So what product is it? I don't mean the exact name. Is it? It looks like
wax or gel.
Is it a hairspray?
Hairspray.
You've sprayed it. You miss
it. It's a different gel. It's a stronger gel.
Okay, it doesn't.
But it just didn't work.
No. I don't know.
I don't have any experience with it. That's the difference.
What provoked you to try a different gel?
Well, because I ran out of the other stuff.
Oh, okay. So just stuff that's lying around.
I think the cupboard.
Right.
Listen, I think it's a winner.
Oh, man. Frank, what would happen if you didn't shave your head? Would you have the halo?
Shut up, ask your question, you know? Don't ask a question like that. Leave me alone.
That's a yes.
No, yes, I have nothing. I have nothing anymore. Oh, Dan, can I say something?
Of course.
I texted because I had many times listening to Craig and Stevie talking, and I texted Willie Sanyol, the coach of Georgia, who qualified for Georgia. It's a real miracle, and because maybe you didn't know, but the coach of Georgia is a French guy, Willie Sanyol, who played for Bayern Munich. Fantastic right back and fantastic coach now.
Sanyol, yeah.
Yeah, well, there we go. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, we're
lovely. Did he reply to your text, Frank?
No, he's blocked him.
Right.
Of course, he said, thank you, Frankie, you're adorable. He said you are adorable.
Okay. Craig, has the scrapping of the away goal rule in European competition skewed the balance of win probability in favour of the second leg home side, since they have the ability to strategise for the return leg from the off, banking on the home advantage in the deciding match and extra time and penalties?
Holy smokes.
What a way to kick things off.
Yeah, what a question.
Can you repeat that? No, I'm only joking. Frank.
Frank loved that. Thank you.
I've not really paid much attention to it, to be quite honest with you. I don't have an issue with
it. No, it was disappointing this round because of the draw, wasn't it? I think you looked at that draw because people said, oh, you know.
I don't think when the away goal rule was in that we really saw a lot of teams going away from home and going for it.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I
mean. Yeah. Stevie, do you have an opinion?
I would prefer the away goals, to be honest.
Yeah, but it's the way that's the way you are, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yep. For Frank and Luis, who will go further in the Euros this summer, Luis? France or Spain?
If it's me, the first one, and the way that I've seen things, honestly, I would love to say different, but I see stronger France, so I would say France will go further.
Yeah. Yeah, Frank?
Well, I would love to agree with Luis, but you know, we're sure about nothing right now. I mean, the two favorites are struggling right now, England and then France, and they're like twin brothers, you know, having poor performances. And if the result for France tonight was better than England, I mean, the performance was really average. So we don't know where we go. And as Craig mentioned during the show, if Morata go back to his best like he's been doing for Atletico Madrid, you know, you can have a different scenario. So we don't know where we are right now. It's 2 months before, 3 months before the competition. We don't know where we are. And having prediction right now is too dangerous.
And that great win that Atleti had over Inter at the Metropolitano, he was terrible, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. He just looks as if he's got to find a way to energise himself for the finish, for the run into the season, with the Euros in mind, because he was up to all his old tricks. You know, he was falling over, he was getting cut offside, his link-up play was poor, his touch was poor, all the things that, when he's off, sort of are so noticeable. But yet, when he's on his game, and, you know, we've seen him this year in Spain, in La Liga, when Atleti have got really good service into the box, him attacking it and linking up with Griezmann, for the most part, has been has been excellent, but his form is coming at a bad time for both club and country. But he's got time to turn that around.
Stevie, do you feel like players before the 90s are forgotten? Anytime there's greatest of all time lists, only people mention Pelé and Maradona, nobody else.
Yeah, 100%. But I think a lot of that is to do with the way the game's been sold since then, though.
Right.
You know, as much as it was probably the most watched game on the planet previous to the 90s, it's even more now. So I would suggest that more people watch it, and that's why before the 90s, the majority of those people that have now come on board wouldn't know most of the players anyway. So I think that's the biggest reason.
Can I say that I a bit disagree, you know, in a way that we all remember Johan Cruyff, Socrates, Platini, Keegan, Dalglish, Moore, so many others. I mean, this might be my time, but when I talk to young players, they know Cruyff, they know Beckenbauer, they know Platini, they know Charlton, they know Moore, they know those players, they know the names. The names are sacred. They don't really know them because they didn't see them playing, because they don't have many pictures of them, of matches of them, but they are known as legends, for sure, yeah, and forever.
But the problem is, Frankie, as much as I agree with you there, the problem today is they know who three or four of the other guys were.
Right.
So that's the difference between pre-90s and post-90s, that you're flinging out one name from teams. Everybody knows three and four from teams.
Yeah, true.
I don't think people that watch the game now, you know, obviously of a certain age, it's more difficult for them to look back, but they don't realise. But let's just take the one sort of decade, the 80s. I don't think, certainly in England, but also in France and Spain and Germany and Italy and all these. Do you remember Italy was the place to go? In fact, everybody.
Yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
had. There was some went to Spain.
Ian Rush went there, welcome.
One or two went to Germany, they all went to Italy. But I don't think, if you take England, for example, the Liverpool team in the 80s, you need to take another team that people just wouldn't even think about is our old former colleague Paul Mariner, the late Paul Mariner, Ipswich Town. People don't realise, actually, all those players, Mariner, Brazil, Butcher, Murin, Tyson, Mick Mills was the England captain playing for Ipswich. Yeah. You know, Bobby Robson, they just don't. People just think, it was, you know, Man City now and Liverpool now and Arsenal and Barcelona and all these teams. You don't realise how good these teams were playing on some of the worst playing pitches and playing the football they were playing. It's the sort of move on era, because it's all on TV, it's on social media, but over the years, there's been some incredible teams.
You just reminded me, I was laughing when I was driving in here the other day.
Oh, well, did you see yourself in the mirror?
I was listening to Tommy Smith and Rodney Marsh on the radio. Right?
Right, okay.
And they were talking about how Saka has been complaining about getting kicked so much.
Right.
I nearly crashed the car. I mean, you can't kick anybody these days. He thinks getting kicked now is a problem.
Well,
they wanted to play in the 80s.
Let me tell you. Yeah, right, okay. What's the reaction of the manager, Luis, if you get injured during an international break friendly? I don't understand why some play like each game is the World Cup.
Yeah, but as a manager, you're not happy at all. And now they've been trying to build this new competition to try to give it more importance to all international games or friendly games, having a cup at the end, so you make it more intense. That sometimes for the player, it doesn't matter, because when you are with the national team, I don't know the guys, but I'm sure that they were trying to do their best and you put everything that you got to try to play well and to give it to your national team. So in the end, if you get injured, the worst part is for, to be honest, the clubs and the manager, who needs to continue building the team ahead of what happened in the national stop. So I think there is a mess, and right now at least we can enjoy this competition, because back then with those friendlies, there was nothing to gain about it.
Okay, I like this question.
Oh, right.
What three additional Chelsea players would Craig and Frank asked to join them in a five-a-side against Lewis and Stevie's three choices of Liverpool players to make it five versus five.
Who would that?
So who would? So it's you and Frank.
Okay, so I've got one straight away.
Go on then.
Absolutely on straight away, Gianfranco.
Gianfranco Zola.
Zola.
Yeah.
Yes, baby.
Yeah, yes. He's in.
Yeah, Frank, are we putting Hazard in as well?
No, if I put Zola, I don't put Hazard. I want to win. I know how to win on the five against five. You don't play offensive players. You play defensive. I put Craig in the middle, Gianfranco Zola at front. I play with Desailly, and you pick the goalkeeper, Craig.
No, don't have a goalkeeper. It's five out field.
Okay.
So we've got Desailly,
so you
LeBeuf,
pick the last one, Craig.
No.
Zola, Burley.
I think you've got to have an all-rounder in there.
Okay.
And as much as a manager, I didn't like him.
Right.
You got to have
Hullet in there.
You got to have Ruud Gullit in there because people are just going to bounce off him.
Right.
I mean, he can do everything.
Yeah.
Defend, score goals.
Okay.
Upset people, everything.
Right.
Yeah.
So Hazard, Terry, Lampard.
I love the upset people.
Well, people don't realise, Frankie, how big was Gullit? He's a monster.
He was a big lad.
Yeah, he was a monster. Really, he was a monster. He was high. He was wide. He was technical. He was fast. I mean, yeah. At his prime, the guy was untouchable. Yeah, for sure.
Okay then, Luis and Stevie, your three others.
Well, Luis, I would go with me, you, Barnes, Gerrard, and which centre forward?
Oh,
you've not gone back an era to
Rashi. Is it?
Rashi.
Hey, no Dalglish.
No Dalglish.
Five aside.
Right. Explain why that's different.
Well, because Kenny always wants to go towards goal.
Right.
Five aside, there's a lot of tactical play involved in five aside.
Wow. You're going to be
Liverpool legend.
He's in the echo again.
Yeah.
So remind me. So we've got Nico, Garcia, Gerrard,
Rashi,
Barnes,
and Ian Rush.
It's very attacking.
But you've got Barnes who will do both sides of the ball.
Us.
You've got Gerrard who'll do both sides. I'll do both sides. Man will fly around the middle, supplying Rushy. And he'll stick the ball in the back of the net. Thanks for coming.
Who wins that, Luis? Who wins that battle?
Thank you very much. They have no chance. They have just no chance.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, sure. I have a question for Stevie. I'm sorry I never asked, because I know he talked a lot about Kenny Dalglish and some others, but he never talked about Kevin Keegan. How high you rank Kevin Keegan, Stevie?
Well, you didn't play with him, did you?
No, I didn't play with him, no.
Had he gone to Germany once?
He had gone to Germany. Yeah, he went to Germany in 77. So I didn't get to Liverpool till 81. Yeah. And he'd already gone. But I think historically we're talking Dalglish, Gerrard, Barnes, then Keegan.
No, Salah's obviously in that conversation now.
Salah's in that conversation now, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
I think I'm on my way home.
Yeah. And you're, by the way, you're slipping down the list by every week. You're slandering Liverpool.
Yeah. UK newspapers picked up on Stevie saying he'd sell Trent Alexander-Arnold, and it's gone everywhere. And Liverpool fans are angry at you.
Very angry.
Well, no surprise. I actually didn't say that. Which is not unusual. Something you didn't see is actually in the papers.
Dan, if you're the head coach of ESPN FC and you made it to the final of the Champions League, you get a late penalty to win the game, which pundit would you pick to take the penalty? Oh, this is tough because...
I know.
It's because of the repercussions. Like, obviously, it's Frank. I would say Frank, but the problem is then you've just got to hear about it every day, like the World Cup. That's the issue. You're just adding to his ego. But yeah.
So you'd rather lose the left Frank.
Frank. And then you'd be a contender, but you would also remind me every day. Remember when I saved you? Remember when I scored that penalty when we won the Champions League?
What?
Yes, exactly.
There's not many of us taking three in the game, right?
No, exactly.
Luis took penalties, didn't
Luis, did you take pens as well?
I do.
Yeah.
My first penalty on La Liga, it was a Panenka. My first penalty in Mexico was a Panenka, and the other five that I took all went in. That's it.
Yeah, but
Nothing.
Problem is, I wouldn't trust you because you might be getting your hair cut. And, you know, to bring you on, I don't know if we can trust you in that sort of stage. So that could be it.
You're in trouble, then.
Frank.
Definitely go for Frankie.
I think
I've seen Frankie taking penalties.
He'd love it, wouldn't he?
Some people like the moment.
Yeah.
Frankie loves the moment. Yeah, Frankie's
cool. That's why he's on stage.
Frank's cool.
Yeah.
He'd take the penalty.
Luis, I was expecting you to see you in the Legends game.
Me.
Shut up, Frank. The Liverpool Legends game this weekend. Sven-Goran Eriksson, of course, was there as a special guest. Why weren't you there? That seemed to be your sort of the thing.
I would have loved, but I wasn't called, to be honest.
Oh, no.
I've been told that they needed to make a rotation. They want to bring more players in both. I wasn't called, so yep. I was disappointed, to be honest, not to be there, because I was one of the first ones to call Sven to be part of the game. But yeah. Didn't receive the call. It will be the next time. It's all about raising money for a good cause.
I think it was fantastic.
No, that was great.
The story, of course, if you don't know Sven-Goran Eriksson, the former England coach, has been diagnosed with cancer. He hasn't been given long to live. He always wanted to coach Liverpool.
Terminal, yeah. And I think the game, I think it might have been carried by, was it Channel 4 that carried it? Or anyway, they did an interview you saw from Steve Bauer.
Yeah.
And some of the ex-players that played for Sven-Goran Eriksson were leaving the message and he was getting kind of emotional.
Yeah.
It was a nice moment for him, but it's just sad to... It's hard to put into words, isn't it?
No, most definitely. But like anyone who saw when they were singing You'll Never Walk Alone, it's incredibly touching. What a moment for him. Where we go?
Where can I find that? I never saw that. But
sorry?
I saw a bit where guys were... with Steve Bauer, when they were calling him up on...
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be on YouTube.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah,
and Luis, a longer interview where he talked about stuff.
Luis, what's the number one rule from the current times that you would have liked to have in your playing days? Well, the rules haven't changed that much, have they?
No, really. If I can recall right now, I don't know. There is not many rules that I will have changed. Will have liked now.
Would you have liked VAR, Luis?
Think about it. I'm not. No. I wouldn't have enjoyed VAR back then.
Nah, I wouldn't have liked
that. Jersey Dudek would not have liked VAR either, by the way.
I think as a player, you wouldn't have liked VAR. Maybe you would, maybe Steve. I don't think I would have liked it. I like it as a pundit, a broadcaster. Not sure as a player waiting to know all the time whether I suppose if it's pros and cons, when it goes for you, it's fine and against you. But I tell you, talking about rule changes, I don't know about you, but I noticed the biggest effect in a rule change when they stopped the ability to pass it back to the goalkeeper.
That must have just changed
the sport. And he picked the ball up, right? The first pre-season that we played a pre-season match at Chelsea, when that was the first year they'd made the change, so this was around late July, August, and I remember playing the first pre-season game and you're already breathing. You know, your first match, you're always struggling. It takes time to get your fitness. Oh, my God. I was like, somebody kick the ball out, for God's sake. Because you used to... The ability to go back to the goalkeeper and they picked it up and wasted some time. You know, you got your breath. Well, that first game, it was going back to the keeper and he's launching it up the field and it literally was never out of play.
I mean, you were in the worst position to do that, though. So by that time, I was playing centre-back most of the time.
Right.
So really, as far as running around, it didn't affect me. Because you're doing everything within a certain amount of space anyway.
Right.
So as far as that was concerned, it was a lot easier for the guys playing centre-back. But in the middle of the park...
Whoa, it was mud there. But you got used to it.
When you scored the own goal against David James, was that...
That was the year the rule
changed. That was the year the rule changed, yeah?
Aye. Yeah.
Because you just forgot.
No.
Had it changed when you left them?
No, there was a whole... They had just changed the rule.
Right.
I'd had no sleep pretty much the last two nights because Eleanor was ill.
Oh, Eleanor.
Ah, it's her fault. Plus the rule change and the ball's played over me and behind me.
Yeah.
David James is in goal, who's 16 foot tall, by the way.
Yes.
And I'm just getting ready to knock it back to him and then I realised, but I was too late and I ended up lobbing him. What a goal. What an own goal.
I like this bit.
My whole My head was.
Had to go out and deal with a little bit of A4 paper with an oil change on it.
Just have a look at that a moment.
Right. Pass him back.
Don't pass it back. Frank, it must have affected you as well, yeah?
Yeah. I clearly remember that year, and I remember the first friendly game that we had at the beginning of the season, where I remember taking the ball from the floor and put it up on my knee and on my thighs and put it with a header to the goalkeeper, gave it to the goalkeeper. And the referee say, no, you cannot do that. I give you a free kick against you. And I say, well, not that rule. I can't give back the ball back to my goalkeeper with a header. He said, yes, you can. But you cannot do it on purpose, so we give you a free kick against you. I said, well, that's a rule. But it's true. I agree. Even as a center back, I suffered physically because you had to give the ball back, and then you have to go back forward because the goalkeeper was kicking the ball. Because remember, the goalkeeper, they weren't good at the time with their feet. So that was pretty, you had to pay attention to what you were doing and who you would give the ball back to, that's all. But it was, that was very, very, very interesting.
Luis, this must have made you feel very young, all this this discussion.
What do you think? It was in the 90s they changed that rule.
Yeah. Yes.
Not that long ago. Don't do the maths.
92, 93, I think it's 92, 93, yeah.
Luis, what do you think the ceiling for Ansu Fati will be? Should he return to Barca or look to have a permanent move to a Spanish rival to kickstart his career? God, you kind of forgot about Ansu Fati, haven't we?
He's done all right with Bournemouth.
He's at Brighton.
Yes.
Yeah, Brighton.
He did well for Bournemouth, though.
He did well for Bournemouth as well.
He hasn't played well all the time for Brighton.
Go on, Luis.
Yeah, it's really, and he's not playing regularly at Brighton, something that is very important for him. I think, my opinion, the way I've seen it, I think he should find a way of to go. I'm not sure if on loan, because I'm not sure if Barcelona is gonna wanted to sell him right now. But he should be trying to find a way. Bring him back to Barcelona. I think he's gonna face again to a new generation again, younger players that they are right now in a fantastic moment. We are thinking about Lamine Yamal who just arrived. Fermin that just arrived, players who are being involved in that kind of position. I'm sure the Barcelona is going to try to sign more players, and he needs to play. He needs to feel important. He needs to feel comfortable. He needs to earn minutes, win minutes, play minutes, and that's something that he's not getting at the moment. He thought that just going to Brighton, he will have the chance of playing a lot of minutes, but he found that outside of Barcelona, there is a very difficult role. They need to change their mindset and start thinking that if you are right there, you need to continue working even harder to try to prove your value. And I think he needs to move, and he needs to move to another place where he can play a lot of minutes.
You'd have thought he'd have been like undroppable at Brighton.
Yeah, I know.
I know they've got some good players like Matoma and others, and solid
injuries as well. You think they?
And they've not had the best of seasons. They've been topsy turvy. You would have. I mean, it's not quite the.
He kept driving to Bournemouth. That was the first.
It's not
thing.
Far.
Aye.
You can always go down there and try his luck.
Play for Brian.
Yeah. Final question, Frank. Which from the below will happen first? So what will happen first? England winning the Euros or the World Cup? Arsenal winning the Champions League? Or Spurs winning the Premier League?
Wow.
No, I've got the answer, Frank. It's an easy one. Come on.
It's really easy.
It's easy, Frank. Come on.
Oh, my God. Okay, I go for England winning the Euro.
Yeah, it's the correct answer.
Whatever it
yes.
is. Arsenal winning the USL. UCL,
no,
sorry.
Arsenal never
and then after
Premier
Spurs
League.
Winning the Premier League.
I think I thought the answer was Arsenal winning the Champions League.
Really?
Yeah.
No. No, it's not.
Oh, you have a lot of confidence in England. You'll be in punter mode, banging the desk.
I will be banging the desk.
It's coming home. It's coming home.
Frank, you're going to be here, aren't you, for the Euros? Well, that's exciting. Have you booked the nice hotel? Dom isn't allowed in it.
Well, I don't know yet. I didn't book the hotel yet, but I'm going to be there, and I'm going to enjoy it.
Oh, good. I'm pleased. Great. That is it. We are done. We will be back tomorrow for more as we kind of turn the page on international football.
No, but looking back.
No, looking back.
Yeah, looking back.
Only looking forward.
Looking back the whole
only
week.
Looking forward now. Of course, some big games this weekend, including the Clásica and Arsenal Man City.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed.
Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.